Good afternoon, folks. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM, and we're coming to you from beautiful downtown, or I should say uptown Waterloo, 108 King Street North. Today is episode number 75 of the Agriculture Show, and it is April 1st, and no fooling, folks, we have a great show today. I'm glad to see Roberto Angelis in studio today. How are you doing today, Roberto?
Hey, it's great to be here, Jeff. How are you?
I am just so good. If it's any better, I couldn't stand it. As you know, folks, we like to feature the music of our guests on our show. And today, Roberto has brought some music. And can you tell us, Roberto, your first song here is Water is Wide.
Actually, this is a lyrical interpolation of Water is Wide, inspired by the original written in 1781, which was then called Wally Wally. The lyrics that I rewrote are as follows. The water is wide, I can't cross over, and neither have I wings to fly. Make of our hands a vessel painted blue, and both shall row, my love and I. A branch of oak and of willow true, how to bend and break the waves and plume. Into the open's calm unknown, so both shall row, my love and I. Send us an angel to row for two, and brave the storms we'll need pass through. Beyond this ancient narrow strait, this boat of hands, your warm embrace. Make of our hands a vessel painted blue, and both shall row, my love and I.
And I just want to illustrate to our guests that you're an accomplished songwriter, and to our topic today, you are here on behalf of a group called TOPS. Would you like to tell our listeners what TOPS is? Or perhaps we'll wait till that guest, but let's connect the dots here. I'm on Google. I'm looking for a poet for our agriculture show, and ta-da, your name shows up. How did that happen?
Ta-da. I wish I could tell you. We have Fran Figuet as well, who is actually the president of TOPS at this time. And I'd like to introduce Fran to give us a little more information about TOPS.
That'd be great. Thanks so much. Fran, I'd like to come on up here and tell us all about TOPS. Boy, it's an interesting initiative you've got going here. Give our listeners an idea what the TOPS stands for and what you folks are all trying to do.
Hi. Yes. Well, TOPS is actually an acronym. It stands for the Ontario Poetry Society. And the Ontario Poetry Society was founded by Bunny Iskoff in 1999. And we like to describe it as a democratic, grassroots, poetry-friendly organization.
That sounds good.
Yeah. We have 18 branches in Ontario, and we also have two auxiliary branches, one in Edmonton and one in B.C.
And it's just been recently organized in Ontario. Like I was searching for today's topic. It's a very recent posting on Facebook for TOPS in the Kitchener-Waterloo area with Roberta's name on the top. Has this been recently a reorganization of the, is it more prominent now? Is there more initiative now to get that TOPS more prominence?
No, it was always really supposed to be all Ontario we want to have represented. Of course, everybody who is a branch manager for a region. We're all volunteers.
Okay.
And so it really depends on being able to find somebody who's willing to take on that initiative in an area.
Mm-hmm. That's a good, and I'm glad that that's happening, and I cannot believe how much support you have. What sort of as a show just, let's just try this, and we have a whole studio full of great guests with great stories, and it's just charming to get through the whole bunch of what I'm expecting to hear today, which is poems already and some fine storytelling. Where's your home at? You have come a long way today for a show?
I'm from Stony Creek.
Oh, you've driven a long ways. And there's also an active chapter in Stony Creek?
Actually, it's part of the Hamilton chapter. There's a Hamilton chapter.
And as far as your types of, now we'll get to, I don't know if Roberta wants to chip in here, but I know part of the description was that your group, the local group, are going to seniors' homes. And
that is one of Roberto's initiatives.
It
wonderful, wonderful thought. And And so maybe he would like to speak more about that.
Well, we'll probably do a little bit of wrap-up at the last. Anything you want to, I know Robert has some, we want to talk a little bit later about your future plans, which are really good. And this is what we're talking about today, folks, is a group that is bringing the spoken word and poetry to the public. And part of that outreach is for you to be here today and looking forward to some of those types of words and poems if possible.
So. Yeah, we try to put out publications that are all-inclusive, that members from all over can write into. And so we have a newsletter called Versifier, mm-hmm. which we put out 3 times a year, and it includes all members' poems, anybody who wants to submit, who's a member, articles on the craft of poeting, contests, markets, members' news, chapbook reviews, event information, and a lot of other things. And everybody gets a copy of that if they're a member 3 times a year. And it's mm-hmm. very, very cheap, if I might say so, to join. It only costs $30. Well, I'm sorry. I think we went up to $35 a year because of postage problems starting this month, actually. But, I mean, there's not many organizations that you can get this much out of for $30 a year. Mm-hmm. We also have, we host about six or seven contests a year. One, the Shades of Imagery contest already passed in January. But there are 7 more coming up, and you can find it all on our website.
Yes,
if you look up the Ontario Poetry Society.
Ontario Poetry Society.
Yes, and there are 6 more contests. That if people wish to participate in, they can join us. Some are actually open to non-members as well, and to members from all over the world. Mm-hmm. I'm saying members, but it could be anybody who wants to join from all over the world. And we also host readings across Ontario. So we've got one coming up in Caledon in April, later on this month. There's one in Cobourg. In May, Stratford in August. We have an autumn harvest poetry gathering in Ottawa in October, a winter one in Oakville. And we've also had previous events in Cobalt, Sarnia, Hamilton, and quite a few other events in Toronto as well. Mm. So we try to cover the province.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're doing a good job, and from what I can tell locally, what a great initiative to help out seniors. And we're just going to, would you be ready to tell us a poem by any chance?
Certainly.
Okay. So this is one of your own, or is it, what's the theme of this one?
Well, this one is about extinction. It's called Lone Hope.
Okay.
And it's actually based on a true story. On September 10th, 2012, in Oregon, they issued orders to have a family of wolves shot for killing cattle. Hmm. And a gray wolf known as OR7 left his pack, and his journey was tracked through the collar that he wore. And he zigzagged his way across mountains, evading hunters, and reached the Modoc Plateau in California in December of 2012. He traveled more than 1,280 kilometers. And since his species had already been hunted to extinction in the Golden State, he was the first wolf to enter California in nearly 90 years. And it's rather ironic that the wolf is a protected species in California.
Yeah.
So this is called Lone Hope. Inner growl speaks of need, but he does not stop to eat, only to drink at a stream, washing the splatter from his coat. Past bleak, relentless glare, past chill of heartless dark, he runs from his only known home, runs to the high hiding of rock. Beyond whole light of dark, beyond claw light of dark, fleeing the crack of death, fleeing the smell of his clan's blood, bitter tang of screams silenced. He remembers the hunger that leads his band to big game, so many to choose from, His father singles out the weakest. They work together to run it down. A good meal for his family. The lowing alerts the invaders. The short-sighted, small noses who scent not the marked land. Who drive them all to world's end with metallic sting of death. Before he can dodge or run, he sees his mother's life end, then an uncle, then a sister. He does not see the rest drop, only hears them no more. Since full light of dark is less and more again, he has not seen or heard or smelled another like himself. He has run from the last breath of many to the silence of none. On unfamiliar ground, without elders to point the way, without friends to aid or romp with, without kin to warm the haunted empty, he grieves. He is an alpha with no tribe, perhaps an omega. High on an unknown rock he stands, head raised to the full light of dark, and howls the call to gather, challenging the silence. He sings again and again, pining for a mate. Lone hope of a lone wolf.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, let's play another song. I think I've got it queued up here, Mr. Angelus's song here that he's looking for, Water is Wide. We'll play that. We'll be back. And stay tuned, folks. I hope you're enjoying our poetry on this lovely Tuesday afternoon. We'll be right back.
The water is wide. I can't cross over. And neither have I wings to fly. Make of our hands a vessel painted blue, and both shall row, my love and I. A branch of oak and of willow true, at a bend and break, the waves and plume into the open's calm unknown, so both shall row, my love and I. Thank you.
Okay, so we're back, folks. So we're going to talk now to some of our other guests in studio. First of all, Roberto, I finally got your song on there correctly. My apologies the first time around. I want to just remind our listeners about that song. You're a songwriter as well as a poet. You did a great job of reciting the poetry of that song.
Master of
When did you do that song?
It would have been a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm dating myself here.
And you can go on YouTube and hear some more of your stuff if our listeners would like.
If people feel so inclined, they're welcome to do so.
And they should look for...
I wouldn't encourage them, though.
Oh, my goodness. You're being too modest. It's quite... you have a delightful voice.
I would like to actually introduce one of my favorite women in the whole world.
Okay.
Mrs. Jockey Loomer Kruger, who is... Well, she's my date for today, as I mentioned. And yes, just to reiterate, Herb, I will have her home by 5 o'clock. I promise.
Well, Jockey, with that introduction, you're a lucky woman.
I am. Not many of us older ladies get a young date like Roberto.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, you and I had a pleasure to talk just previous to today's in-studio situation, and you have you're born and raised in the Windsor area?
In the Windsor, Nova Scotia area.
Windsor, Nova Scotia. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in a rural community at the head of the Annapolis Valley, a very agricultural village. At that time, it was an apple growing area. Mm-hmm. But I didn't grow up on the farm. I always said that I grew up in a greenhouse and I'm half chrysanthemum.
So, you have a sunny attitude, so it must be true.
Oh, it's absolutely true. So I am not as much of a poet, perhaps, as a memoir writer. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to share with you today, is a story from back when I was a kid.
Okay.
And it's called Mary Had a Little Lamb. My sister Hope was 8, and I was 7 that spring, when the family car bumped over rutty gravel roads up to the top of Nova Scotia's North Mountain, up to where Aunt Nettie lived. She was a widow, and her bachelor brother, Uncle Claire, lived there too, on the old family farm, the same farm my mother had left 20-some years earlier to become a teacher. "Why doesn't Aunt Nettie have neighbors next door like we do?" I asked. "They need the pasture land for the animals and the woodland for fuel," Mum explained, stroking my toddler brother's tawny head as he dozed on her lap. "But she doesn't even have a telephone." "Or electric lights," my sister added. "Or a bathroom," I said, wrinkling my freckled nose in disgust. I don't think anyone explained about thin topsoil, fields full of granite boulders and scrubby trees, or told us that the less than fertile land barely kept my uncle and aunt fed. Hope and I spilled out of the car and raced toward the house. The smell of white bread fresh out of the wood stove greeted us. I recognized a milk separator in the back porch of the small, weather-beaten house. My best friend Eleanor lived on a farm, and they had a separator in their back porch, too. I knew it would mean homemade butter, and I much preferred the kind of butter our family ate, which came from the store. We hugged Aunt Nettie. "Well, hello, boys," she said to us, and we giggled. "We're girls." "What? Why, I thought you were the new hired men come to help Uncle Claire." We giggled some more. Aunt Nettie always teased us. "Well, now, you boys, I mean girls, you go out and see what's in the pen at the end of the barn. But watch out for the gander, he'll chase you." Off we dashed, past our parents and little brother, still asleep on Mum's shoulder. Our dark pigtails bobbed. Our matching blue play dresses swung as we ran. Shiny new rubber boots slapped the backs of our legs. At the side of the tar paper covered barn, white geese nibbled grass. As we approached, they lifted their heads, alerting the gray gander at the rear of the flock. He lunged, neck extended, hissing. "Run!" Hope cried. "Run!" We ran. The victorious old gander then strutted back to where he'd been, and the geese resumed their grazing. Near the corner of the barn stood an ancient wooden rain barrel wrapped with rusted metal strapping. We paused to peer in. Water, edged by what looked to us like green fur, which we later learned was algae, came halfway up the sides. Above the top of the water, the insides of the barrel staves were dark and damp, and to our surprise, also populated. "Oh, look! Little baby alligators!" We didn't know we were looking at salamanders. Then we heard something. "Baa!" We skittered off in the direction of the sound. There in the pen at the end of the barn stood a lamb, soft, creamy white, cuddly, just like in the song, "Mary Had a Little Lamb." "Oh, I wish we could have it," I said. "You want that lamb?" The voice was Uncle Claire's. In tattered straw hat, patched checked shirt, equally patched denim overalls, and dull, mended rubber boots, he strode out of the barn and into the pen. "Here, you can have her." He scooped up the lamb in both arms. "Open that gate." My sister lifted the latch, and Uncle Claire stepped out beside us. "She's yours. Play with her all you want. In fact, you can help me feed her in a few minutes." He deposited the precious lamb at our feet and marched off to the house. In unison, we knelt and wrapped our arms around the animal's neck. "We can have her, Jockey. Uncle Claire said so," Hope said. "But Mom and Dad, do we have to ask them?" Before we could discuss the situation further, Uncle Claire appeared carrying a glass Coke bottle filled with warm milk and fitted with a rubber nipple. "Now watch," he said, "then you can feed her." We watched carefully as the young sheep grabbed onto the nipple. "You have to hold onto the edge of the rubber so she don't pull it off. She's a greedy little thing when she's hungry." After she'd done her initial guzzling, we took our turns. First Hope, then me. As I felt the tug of the lamb's rhythmic suckling, my imagination romped. We'd be able to look after her perfectly, I was sure. I knew exactly where my little brother's leftover baby bottles and nipples are stored in the preserves closet at the bottom of the cellar stairs. My mind danced. Daddy would bathe her in the green metal wheelbarrow, just like he did the dog, until her fleece was white as snow. And she'd follow us to school and make the children laugh and play. It would be so much fun to have a Mary's lamb all our own. After supper, which included Aunt Nettie's bread and homemade butter, and I noted it tasted better than the butter Elmer's mother made, Hope and I were anxious to go out again to play with our lamb. "We'll be going home once the dishes are done," Mom said. "Don't go far away, and don't forget to use the outhouse before we leave." We didn't like the outhouse, used as we were to an indoor bathroom at home. But we were fascinated by the catalogs used for toilet paper. Not Simpson's and Eaton's catalogs like Eleanor's family used in their outhouse, and like Hope and I cut up for paper dolls at our house. Here there were catalogs full of wagons and roosters, sheep, harnesses, pitchforks, lumberman's rubber boots, burlap bags, seeds, and more and more. Jockey, Hope, we're going soon. Come say goodbye to Aunt Nettie and Uncle Claire, our mother called. We raced to the house, said our goodbyes, and hurried back to the edge of the barn where we'd left the lamb. Quick, said Hope, you open the back door. Dutifully, I ran to the car, opened the door behind the driver's seat, then rushed back to where Hope knelt, hugging the lamb. Together, we lifted our prize and placed her on the floor, then climbed in ourselves and waited for Mom and Dad and our little brother. At last, they came. Did you use the outhouse? Yes, we said. Well, we're off, said Dad, revving the engine. What was that? Both parents turned to look at us. Then they looked down at the floor between the front and back seats. Girls, exclaimed our mother, what's that lamb doing in the car? Uncle Claire said we could have her. Oh, no, darlings, I'm sure he didn't mean to take her home. He just meant to play with while you were here. But, I protested, Uncle Claire said so, and Mary had a little lamb. We can't look after a lamb, Mom continued. She needs to live on a farm. By this time, Dad was out of the car and had opened the back door. Please, we begged together, please let us keep her. Afraid not, girls, said Dad, reaching in and wrestling our now frightened, bleating lamb into his arms. Through tears, we watched our father carry the lamb to the house, saw him pass the lamb to Uncle Claire at the doorstep, and noted the look of amused surprise on our uncle's face. Of course, our mother was right. Uncle Claire, a bachelor with little contact with children, didn't understand how literal children can be in their interpretation of what's said to them. I don't remember much about the trip home, but I know that whenever I hear that old nursery rhyme recited or sung, I feel a distant longing and a vague ancient childhood sadness, because once upon a time, Hope and Jockey almost had a little lamb.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
How long, that's a, is that considered a long poem, a long story, or a short
that's
story?
That's a memoir piece rather than a poem,
okay.
And it's just a memory from my own childhood,
yeah.
Which is fun to share.
We should all share our childhood fun moments, I think.
Yes, okay. Yeah, it's part of the stories that make us who we are.
I agree. Okay, let's play some more song. Hopefully we'll come back for another song, another poem if we have time here yet today.
Okay.
We have so many guests today and time is running by, but we'll
thank you.
You're welcome. We'll be right back, folks.
That the boy in me mistook.
just a kid with questions for the hero of my world. You would answer me backhanded, or sometimes with a left hook. Funny how you misconceived this creature come a-standing in your door. Hey, old man, I'm back to break your heart. It's time I let you go.
This is Mark Reeser. You are listening to CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Federation represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Okay, folks, thanks for tuning in. I hope you're enjoying our show today. It's the Agriculture Show, episode number 75. And today it's about poetry. And through a web connection with Roberto Angelis, we have the pleasure of five people in studio who can speak with the best. And that last song, all the songs of this show, are songs by Roberto. Great song, that last one, a little bit upbeat. You want to tell our listeners a little bit about that song, Roberto, why you wrote it, where it came from?
Thank you, Jeff. I just feel it's important to write what you know. Hmm. And this was no different. Ken Munsha, my producer at the time, and also a very close friend of mine, he said, stop trying to write a hit and just, you know, go home and write what you know. And it came to me on a Tim Hortons napkin.
There's a good Canadian story in there.
What is it that I know? Yeah. I know a thing or two about neglect. Yeah. I know a thing or two about abuse. you raised your cane, I was never able to deflect the blow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get Cain and Abel in there. The important thing, though, to remember in this journey is the end of the song. I thought, you know, I could end this song with violence, with getting back. But I think that by showing that the light at the end of the tunnel is not necessarily a train, that would be the best way to end this song. So I thought, forgiving you releases me to live in love again. That was the important element of this song for me.
That's a good theme from a personal standpoint and a good theme from society's standpoint. How much do we see nowadays is just anger, once again, recycled, and just this keeps on going.
It's a vicious cycle, it unless really somebody is strong enough to stop it.
Yeah.
Or weak enough, maybe.
Right.
Anyway, I'd like to introduce...
That's great. Yeah, introduce the next thing.
Yeah, Barbara Lefcourt is a wonderful writer as well that I'd love to introduce to you now.
Thank you, Roberto.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Where do you call home on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon?
I live in Waterloo.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've lived here since 1963.
You're an old-timer.
Yes, quite an old-timer. My husband and firstborn child moved up here from the States in 1963.
Okay.
We thought we'd be in Canada for 5 years.
Yeah, for a short time.
And then we fell in love with Manitoulin Island.
And you should. That's a beautiful place up there.
Yes.
So... Mm-hmm. Just delighted that you've come to on our show today. How long have you been a poet?
Pardon?
How long have you been a poet?
Oh, about a dozen or so years. Mm-hmm. I started writing poetry around the time I retired from teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because of a beautiful sunset we had seen on Manitoulin Island. We had taken photos, still photos, and in our then camcorder. And when I was looking at the photos the following fall and winter, I thought there's more to that sunset than the view of it. It was our feelings that we experienced as we watched that glorious sunset.
Mm.
And so I proceeded to be inspired to write many, many other poems after that.
Well, that's
and
wonderful.
And became a member of TOPS in 2004.
Mm-hmm. And that's been lots of fun, too. People of like mind and going out and doing things.
Yes. Yeah. It's very stimulating.
Yeah. And your poem is titled?
Apple Daze. Daze spelled D-A-Z-E.
Excellent. Go ahead.
In warm, cool, bright September, we'd pile excited into the big old station wagon, speeding distance to the apple farm. Crammed with families, the flatbed wagon bumped along rutted lanes to picking zones for what was choice that golden day. Despite munching and careful twisting of stems, it never took long to overflow the bushel bags. Jumping in hayloft, the kids elated. At farm store, our thirst was slaked with cider, our hunger with cheddar melting into warm pie. In driving home, the cream, orange, gold of onions, carrots, potatoes, crowded troops of red-green apples, we dozed, dopey from air that floated with fragrance and sneezing. Before bed, I'd peek at our hall, roly-poly dwarfs lined up, awaiting commands to work, metamorphose into sauce, pies, brown Betty, apple pan Dowdy. And I'd dream of burial in apples, sweet, tart, syrupy, bleeding into me, impossible plenitude, luxury.
There we go. That's great. That's lovely.
Thank you very much.
I think our listeners will easily see an agricultural theme to that poem.
Yes, I don't have very many agricultural theme poems, but I do write a lot about the natural world.
That's the same. That's excellent.
Yes.
An Apple Pan Dowdy. I remember that's a great song, actually. You can get that. It's got a nice, there's a swing song like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. Right.
When I heard those words, I thought, wow, that's quite pleasant. So are you also involved with, we had talked a little bit about the school, and or to seniors' home. Do you go as a group? Go out with the group to the seniors' home to entertain them as well?
Well, I am planning to be part of that event.
Okay.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it very much, and I've been thinking quite a bit about the types of poems that I will choose to present during that event. Poems that are accessible and that might be full of reminiscences that people might be able to relate to.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll get another couple of poems in here.
Okay.
We'll play another song, and then we'll come back with our other guests. And stay tuned, folks. We're here at CKMS Radio, 1.3 Sound FM, on beautiful Uptown Waterloo, 108 King Street North. We'll be right back.
Yesterday, broken of water, washed in blood. Yesterday, freed of the ties of flesh that bound me. Yesterday was a day unlike the day before. Yesterday, I never thought you'd come so very far. Oh, to meet me in this mist and blow your love life in my lungs. Yesterday. Yesterday. Born yesterday. Drop kicked and fighting for my life. Born yesterday. Untimely pushed into the light. So yesterday was a day unlike the day before. My yesterday. Though you carried me out for oh so many months, somehow I still need you more. The stronger I become. Born yesterday.
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 I'm Sue B. Proud, and you're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Jeff.
Would you be so kind as to introduce our next guest, please?
Of course. I'd like to introduce our next poet, Patricia McGoldrick.
Okay.
Thanks, Barbara.
Hi, Patricia.
Hey, Jeff.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. I'd just like to say thanks for having us here to celebrate this first day of National Poetry Month.
It is. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I did not know that, and that would have been forgotten.
It's exciting.
I know. And is that on all of Canada or North America, or how big of an umbrella is that?
It is in several countries being celebrated. Mm-hmm. Particularly, I'm familiar with Canada and the United States.
Yeah.
And both of us are celebrating this now.
Are there any other larger events going on to celebrate that?
There are events being held throughout the province in many communities and in the United States as well. If you type in National Poetry Month, you will get references to Canadian events and to American ones particularly.
Okay. So that's good news because, boy, it does give a chance to get some publicity and get together with enjoy each other's company.
It does.
Yeah. And it's all new to me, the initiatives of TOPS is doing, especially here in the Waterloo region with Roberto. And it does show very active, participatory, community-oriented type activities. It's good stuff.
Yes, it's nice to be able to share poetry on these types of occasions. And I was really glad to see the idea that they were asking for poetry about agriculture because I grew up in a rural environment.
Oh, my
and,
goodness.
And it was exciting. It has come into my writing a lot.
And where is your home?
I'm living in Kitchener right now, but yeah. I grew up in Dufferin County in a little township called Garafraxa.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where that is.
It's near Orangeville.
Do you still have family up there by any chance?
Not really. Most people have in the family have moved away, but within this southern Ontario area, they still live.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And so you have an agricultural poem, I guess, and what are you calling? What is it called?
Actually, I have a couple of poems that are based on my farm experience, and
one is
called Potato, and it's kind of a salute to my grandparents and my great-grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
This poem I just titled Potato. Here in cold Canada, towards the late spring, after the frost has gone, this tuber starts with an eye, just a wee sprout planted in a hole, mounted into a hill. Green plant bursts through the ground, grows upright through the summer with lush, wrinkly leaves, branching outward while being monitored for potato bugs and their ilk. More growing action takes place below the ground. Small new potatoes are dug up as testers, teasers if you will, buttered and served with snippets of green chives. They are not all the same, these nutrient-rich gems, these potassium pommes de terre, colored creamy inside or yellow Yukon gold, sometimes they are purple, not like potatoes of old, dug by my great-grandfather for his family till the bad years came, with years of rotting and stench and starvation, hungrily searching for sustenance in Fermanagh, some then sailing on the Moravian to Canada. Today, by fall, these apples of the earth are ready to harvest and cook at your will, surplus stored in burlap sacks to sleep for the winter until... And that's the end.
That's a lovely poem. How long does it take for you to create a poem?
It depends. Sometimes I have done the proverbial writing on a napkin in a restaurant. Sometimes I just sit down at the computer and compose. It really depends on the spur of the moment sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's lovely. And as far as poems go, do people speak in terms of the 2-minute poem or the 20-second poem, or what are the basic frameworks when you go about composing a poem?
Sometimes mine are longer. Sometimes they are very brief haiku poems, which are very just a certain number of syllables. It just depends on the moment, I guess. One thing I tend not to do is rhyme. When I was in school, I was traditionally taught rhyming poems, and I would say that most of my poems that I write now are free verse and lyrical. They're not rhyming poems.
Mm, yeah. And your second poem is called?
This is one that is focusing on agriculture now.
Yeah.
And it's called Buy Local, Buy Fresh.
Oh, that's good stuff. I'm looking forward to it. Go ahead, please. Thanks.
The title, Buy Local, Buy Fresh. Daily, I hear the call to buy local, buy fresh. Like a chant, it is out there, everywhere. Think before you buy. Food, groceries, all within 100-mile radius or 160 kilometers. It's a fresh start. Local produce from farmers and markets. Orange carrots, yellow beans, green peas, red beets, waxy turnip, crisp cabbage, Yukon gold potatoes, squash of all sorts and sizes. Watch out for the gourds. Fruit from the orchards, Freestone peaches from Niagara, purple plums, golden pears, northern spy apples, harvest and russet and Macintosh too. Gardens, gardens everywhere. Gardens in the backyard, gardens in the community, gardens in the balcony, gardens on the rooftops. We are starting over. We are returning too. If only Dad could see the new orchards and tell us about what it was like back in the day.
That had the luxury and privilege of having guests on speaking about local food, and some are producers, and guests coming up include the middle person between them, aggregators, I guess you call them, people with the areas where they can bring together the produce for people. So you've probably noticed that there's been quite an emphasis on local food, as your poem says.
Very much.
You know, like 5 or 10 years now, I think, hasn't it been?
Yes, I think at least, and that's what inspired this poem, going out to places like Hurley's or the local market that has so much food and vegetables, fruit there for everyone. It's great to be able to participate in those venues.
Have you ever tried your hand at growing a little market garden?
Actually, not a market garden, but I'm into container gardening, and I have containers of pots of herbs and some vegetables growing on our deck, and I get a lot of satisfaction out of that throughout the summer.
Yeah. What's on your agenda for this summer? Are you continuing to live up there in Garafraxa Township and grow some flowers and going to as many poetry events as you can?
I'll probably be in Kitchener. Garafraxa where I grew up, but actually being in Kitchener, I like to sit out on the deck in the summer, and that's my favorite place to write poems, and some of them have to do with the herbs that grow there, and some are about people and nature around.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for doing that poem, Patricia. Maybe we will have we're moving along quite smartly with our show, so perhaps we have a chance to do some more.
Thanks
later
very
on.
Much.
But if not, we'll look forward to another time. Thanks so much for coming on. And I'm going to play another song here, and Roberto, my number one contact guy so far, this is a song, TikTok. And do you want to talk about it afterwards or before?
Let's talk about it before.
Okay, so this is a song, TikTok.
I've got a pocket full of change here. Where do I put it?
Oh, a pocket full of change for purpose of...
You said something about it.
Oh, folks, you got to get a chuckle out of this joke. So, you know, Roberta actually mentioned, you know, what happens if my songs or I say a word that's not quite right? She said, well, you could do like a stiff jockeys and put the change in the swear jar.
Okay.
So that, you know the harp... Oh, hold on, here it is right here. See the official thing? It's this swear jar. So Robert, he's not sleeping at all at the switch here. He asked about this, and I said, well, we do have a jar in case you say a bad word.
I'm putting a dime in right now.
Okay.
However, I promise, as bad as this gets, you won't hear anything that you can't find in the Bible.
I believe it.
Right.
You're a good soul. You're a good soul.
Well, this one, I wrote this while I was living at the corner of Bedlam and Squalor in my minivan. And anyway, it's called Time. Time is an addict, stuck on ticking off more time. Time flies until you get the bill, then leaves you numb. Time is a mother ship, and you're her bastard son. Time is respectful, up until your time is done. Time is the balance sheet between the young and old. Time is the paperweight of poverty and gold. Time pisses in the drink, then sanctifies the ground. Time is your breast friend, until you find your ankles bound. Time is the money train where freedom is the con. Time is relentless here where grace cannot abound. Time is the oxygen before the gas is on. Time hits the fan, and now we're really having fun. Time is the change in scene from beauty to the beast. Time is a taste acquired of sweetness, then of yeast. Time stretches onward, marked in lines upon your skin. Time hangs around till you don't feel like hanging in. She takes no prisoners here, just smiles and leads you on. Brushes the hand that stays behind to toll the sum. She ticks and talks her way, one up on your two down. Kiss it goodbye, my friend. You'd best be moving on. Stuck on ticking off more time. Time flies until you get the bill, then leaves you numb. Time is a mother ship and you're her bastard son. Time is respectful up until your time is done. Time is the balance sheet between the young and the old. Time is the paperweight of poverty and gold. Time pisses in the drink, then sanctifies the ground. Time is your best friend until you find your ankles bound. I cry a little with each line. I die a little with each rhyme. Ticking and talking, his boots are walking away from an old love song. It's time, we'd best be moving on. Nah. Time is the money train where freedom is the con. Time is relentless here where grace cannot abound. Time is the oxygen before the gas is on. Time hits the fan, now we're really having fun. Time is the change in scene from beauty to the beast. Time is a taste acquired of sweetness, then of yeast. Time stretches onward, marked in lines upon your skin. Time hangs around till you don't feel like hanging in. I cry a little with each line. I die a little with each rhyme. Singing and talking, these boots are walking away from an old love song. It's time. Takes no prisoners here, just smiles and leads you on. Brushes the hand that stays behind to toll the sum. She ticks and talks her way, one up on your two down. Kiss it goodbye, my friend. We're all just moving on.
walking away from an old love song. It's time, we'd best be moving on.
You are listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Fran, thanks so much for doing that.
You're welcome.
I'm glad to have you back behind the microphone again. We have other guests who would like to be on our show, but are not unable to come into the studio, and I was reluctant to do a phone link with them, technical issues and so on. And so I made a good compromise here, I believe. You have two poems or one poem?
I have poems from two different members.
Okay.
That I'd like to read. The first member lives in Sarnia, so it was a bit of a distance for her to drive.
Yeah.
She's actually the former president of the Ontario Poetry Society. Her name's Debbie Oakenhill.
Okay.
So I'd like to read a poem by her called Memoirs of Gigi's Farm.
Okay, that sounds good. Please go ahead.
There must have been some animals, two or three workhorses, with thick tails, swatting barnyard flies. Some white or brown chickens. Maybe a cat sunning in the porch. A guard dog leaning against the steps. But I don't recall the clucking of hens and scratching of long, wrinkled claws on hay, nor the neighing behind broken fence, horse hoofs sunk into garden plot. I do remember, in child wonder, blue Christmas ornaments, small round balls, shiny glass, my reflection of Gigi's farm, mirrored back to me. A room tucked somewhere, a wooden armoire of memories, curved legs, round wooden handles, three drawers, two large doors swinging out. My parents allowing me to sleep outside in white screened-in porch, the time they woke me up, all of us wearing flannel pajamas, sitting with bare feet in hot car, eating our fill of soft ice cream, the vanilla flavor dripping down my little fingers. Sorry, Deb, for botching that a little there.
My apologies here, too, we're dealing with a bit of a phone call ringing here. Very, very, more like garage facilities here. Things happen in strange and unusual circumstances. So my apologies for that interruption, and we'll get a chance to do something like that again. And you have another poem?
I have another poem by a member from Ottawa,
mm-hmm.
John Ostern, who couldn't be here.
Okay.
And he gave permission for me to read his poem. I hope I don't botch that one up. This one is called Rain, Just Rain.
Thank you.
It has been one of those winters, snow falling, leaves of snowfall, fall, forever leaves and leaves of snow, blankets of snow, while sheets, pillows, a bed. Warmth, comfort, a bed of snow, to lie in February, near March. It has been one of those winters, too, in other ways cold as I lie, or tell the truth, a bed of snow, words are easy, action takes effort. The lies are in the words, truth, in the action and in between, comfort, warmth, a bed of snow. Sometimes we prefer familiarity, the uncomfortable, threatened by commitment of change, and the changes change brings. Snow. It snows again, leaves of it. So we find excuses, rationales, feel others should accept us as we are, even though we don't ourselves. Or at least then there are others to blame. I lie in snow, abed, raining. Now, not tears of sorrow, nor regret, nor pain. Now, it is raining. Rain. Just rain.
Sounds like our friends in Ottawa are great weather prognosticators as well.
Could be.
I didn't hear the word
sun. Thank you, John. I hope I didn't do injustice to your poem. Well, I know he's listening. He said he was going to try and listen in.
Well, thanks for listening in, John. My apologies. Your host is also incompetent for letting the phone ringing again. But
no problem.
It should be fine. I think people can hear the poem way before they hear the distraction. So.
I have another poem if you've still got time.
I'm just delighted. We are going to just use our whole allotted time here. We have time. Please go ahead with the poem.
We have time?
We certainly do. And tell us what it is.
Okay. This is one that was written in response to some childhood poems. And since part of your community here is the university, I thought they might appreciate this one, which was written in response to Lewis Carroll's Jabberwocky. And for those of you who know it, you'll know the playful use of words in this. So perhaps you'll have to listen carefully to catch some of these new words. This is called the Jabberwock Cautionary. 'Twas brillig, but no slithy toves did gyre. Long gone, sparched up the wabe. Get to the mimsy borogoves and mome raths, all gone to the grabe. Beware the Jabberwocky's fate, says he who haxed in haste his prey. Beware, lest you unloose mistrait. Heed this glassed head's tale with dismay. I did not know the Jabberwock, whose eyes did flame the slormy pesk, kept strailin' heart the tum-tum tree, whose roots that pesk sought to ingest. So when I slew their manxome foe, those slorms bred creepsies to the nth, snarfed up the roots, which, to our woe, felled all the trees, the whole realm's length. The liquid roots held fast the soil, squeezed excess mizzle to the wabe. With tum-tum's ged, the soil did broil. All flants and flammels were ex-nabe. That old man warns with uffish thought, in speech of pure implorigy, beside the tribute he has wrought, he stregs, know your ecology. Before you brash into the fray, be sure you re-alasp all links, then maybe you won't rue the day your fooled feet upheaved tragics. 'Twas brillig, but no slithy toves did gyre. Long gone, sparched up the wabe. Ged to the mimsy borogoves, and mome raths all gone to the grabe. Did you follow that?
I think that's pretty impressive to have words that are not traditional and be able to make them words like that.
They're made-up words.
I know,
yeah.
But still to be able to coherently do that.
Well, I'm glad if you could follow it along. That was the intent.
Well, it occurred to me that a word used at the beginning, which is a made-up word, sounded the same as it was at the end. That's the part
of following along on Lewis Carroll's version as well.
Give our listeners a little quick thing about the Jabberwocky. It's a fantasy like Alice in Wonderland.
That's right, yeah. And he wrote it as a story, or as a poem, pardon me, that would tell about this young man who was encouraged to kill the Jabberwock and was praised for doing so. And in my version, it didn't turn out to be such a good idea because the Jabberwock did have its place in ecology, and he removed it and therefore caused other problems.
Okay, let's play a quick song here. Thanks again for doing that, Fran.
Thank you.
We're going to play a song, and we're going to have a couple more poems to finish off the day. And so stay tuned. We're going to play one called Teresa, and maybe Roberto will tell us a little bit about that. Just hang in there, folks. We'll be right back.
Calcutta's moon, past the Hindu sages and the Englishmen with their candy smiles, draped in British clothes. Dawn brings forth another day, another prayer with Muslim vespers from the ancient mosques here as the Christians pass, having learned to love now, in spite of love.
Love is the color of sea. Down like an Indian drum with an endless rhythm, down on the beggar's heads, the copper-colored skin, and letter lines from the daily scowl, born over many, many years. I see the sisters of Christ, they bathe the limbs of the lepers and the souls on the children's feet, and they pray for grace enough to live this day for the good of man, by the will of God. Love is the color of sea. Breaks and the daylight fades. Oh, the night moves in, and the rites are read for those who will not see. Tomorrow come on Calcutta streets. Oh, on Calcutta streets, the colors of sea. Oh,
Okay, we're back, folks, and boy, we've had a great show today. It is getting close to our time to leave the studio, but we're going to do a few more things. That was another song by Roberto. It's about Mother Teresa. Did you want to read a little poem about that?
I think I'll move on from Mother Teresa. That was a very important song I felt to do, though.
Okay.
Anyhow, this will be for anyone that has a birthday today. This day upon which angels bow, then break apart as heaven's clouds, retreating, now a billowing, sweet summer's rain, dance whispering. This day roses and violins, a shingling upon silver strings, cascading notes inspired within, tonguely kisses blown of wings, of Tuesday wives and moaning sighs, this poet's muse, this demon's wife, sharing secrets unrevealed, where life and death become surreal. Oh, cry with me, come, lie with me, drink this cup, then die with me. For if in death we find release, perhaps our love shall find its peace. Bound of blonde, then copper's ring, forgiven in Christ's suffering. There is a song, and still I sing, because of you, adorned of strings, upon slender neck, laced of this cross, of life, then love, to healing sin. To you I kneel, goddess divine, behold your birthday valentine.
That's a good one.
And now I'd like to...
Now, did you just write that down at Tim Hortons one time?
You know what? I probably saw someone...
That's pretty good.
...passing by in traffic.
Please introduce our next guest here again.
Again, we have Barb Lefcourt.
Great, Barb.
Without further ado.
Hi, Barb.
Hi.
I'm glad we had time for another poem by you.
And this is also about an apple tree, a singular apple tree.
Okay.
And it's written in the form of a pantoum, which is a type of poem that's popular in Malaysia. And there's a regular repetition of lines, introduction of new lines in a particular pattern. And the last line repeats the first line. Mm. That old apple tree. That old apple tree clings fast to the earth, once bounteous branches, red, green, gold, an ancient species prized far and near, baking aromas rose close, spread wide. Once bounteous branches, red, green, gold, children chirped working the homestead farm, baking aromas rose close, spread wide. Now birds fill the air with solitary song. Children chirped working the homestead farm. Horse-driven plows once carved fine rows. Now birds fill air with solitary song. Wild flowers and grasses wave in the breeze. Horse-driven plows once carved fine rows. Fragrance floats now from sparse windfalls. Wild flowers and grasses wave in the breeze. Feral life flocks to rotting rare fruit. Fragrance floats now from sparse windfalls. Once distant towns spread, intruding close. Feral life flocks to rotting rare fruit. Sage strangers come to collect old strain. Once distant towns spread, intruding close. An ancient species prized far and near. Sage strangers come to collect age-old strain. That old apple tree clings fast to earth.
That's delightful. You had two poems about apples today.
Yes, yes, yes. And this is about the trying to save rare strains of apples.
The heirloom varieties and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Do you want to play another song, or maybe we should just come on up there and we'll talk some more with Jockey.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think we'll just do that. Yeah, I'm glad you're back. Yeah. And I know one of the things we wanted to talk about too was it's in the back of my mind, some of the future plans for. Do you want to talk about that first, or you want to do your poem first?
I'd like to talk about what's coming up.
Okay.
On April the 15th. The TOPS group from this area are going to visit a retirement home, Victoria Place, mm-hmm. in Kitchener. And we're going to have what we're calling Poetry by the Fireside. So we hope to gather around the fireplace with residents and also with some of the staff who like to write poetry and share some of our poems. And I'm hoping to get a few of the residents that I know have written poems to share some of theirs as well. And with any luck, we're even going to create some poetry. I have a few little tricks up my sleeve that can help people with creating a poem right on the spot, especially people who have a bit of dementia. Can still like to find rhyme, and so we will probably do some couplet type poems just right then and there.
Yeah.
And that's the 15th of this month at 7:00 at Victoria Place, which is at 290 Queen Street South.
Yes.
So that's what's coming. That's exciting. Taking poetry into the community.
I think that's
our first effort with it.
That's an awesome effort.
Yeah.
You're doing a good job.
We think so.
Do you have a poem for us?
I do.
Okay.
I have a
poem.
Or
a saying? What do you call it? Is this a poem? What will you call this?
Well, this is not a story. This is a poem, I guess. And I call it Spring. And again, it does delve back into memories from childhood. Rubber boots slap the backs of my legs. There are mud puddles to hop in. Look, a robin on the lawn there beside the house where the sun shines warm and toasty against the foundation. A dandelion. A dandelion for my mother. Who will put it in a tumbler and place it on the windowsill above the kitchen sink. Spring. Dad makes a kite for my sister and me. After lunch, we go with him to fly our kite in the field behind the greenhouses. It soars on the April wind, cavorts, dips, and rises. My sister and I take turns holding the wooden stick with string wrapped around, teasing the kite with ever more string, until it flies so high it looks like a postage stamp among the clouds. Spring. We're going to catch smelts. They're coming up the river. Dad wields a long-handled dip net. I try to catch some, but my reach is too short. We have smelts in cornmeal batter for breakfast. My sister doesn't like them, but I eat many. Spring, the sap is running, the time is right for making alder whistles. Dad chooses a branch as thick as his little finger, cuts a piece 5 inches long, coaxes the bark off in a brown, hollow tube, cuts a notch and a slice in the greenish-yellow naked wood, slides back the jacket, and makes a square hole in it, just above the notch below. Here, try this, he says, and I blow. a shrill sound from a father-made whistle into the bird-sung air. Spring. In my memory bursts delicious, as welcome and as fresh as the smell of homemade bread lifted from the oven, steaming and full of promise. So
that's
lovely. That one was a poem, I think.
They're all delightful, and I really appreciate you saying those words to us.
Do come, if you can, to our event mm-hmm. on the 15th.
Okay.
We welcome visitors and anyone who loves to hear the spoken word.
Okay.
It would be great.
Okay. Let's play a short song here, and then we'll just do a quick wrap-up. We got about 5 minutes left at the most. This is a one-minute song, and I think it's Roberto's. It's called Blue Something. Blue Again?
All right.
Well, hey. He's nodding his head. We'll be back in a minute. Just hang on, folks. Okay, folks, that's our show for today. I sure hope you enjoyed it. This is episode number 75 of the Agriculture Show. It's April 1st, 2014, and no fooling. We had a great show today. It was all about poetry and the spoken word. And in studio today, I had five guests and two, I guess, from a distance, right, Fran, that sent in their poems by email.
Yes.
And you read them.
I did. And that's part of our mandate, is to bring together poets from all across Ontario.
Okay. First of all, Roberto, thanks for coming out. You're our local chapter president and instrumental in getting this organized. I'm glad you were available and doing your job. Thanks so much for coming out.
It's been an honor. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
And Fran, yourself, for coming from all the way from Stony Creek. I'm glad it wasn't a snowy day.
It's really not quite that far. No. I come regularly to Waterloo.
That's good news. And our remaining guests in the studio are Barbara and Jockey, and thanks so much for coming out, and I'm hoping we can do this again, and I think we'll know a lot more about how we want to do it next time. It's a long 2-hour show, but it's just wonderful, so you're thinking about something, Roberto?
Well, I'm just, thinking about Herb and how I need to get his wife back home by 5 o'clock.
Okay, I don't want to hold you up on that. It's getting on about 4 o'clock, right, so we better call it a day.
I don't want any drama, right?
Yeah.
So, Herb, I promise you I will have your wife home.
Who says you can't have a lot of fun on a Tuesday afternoon, huh? Okay, folks, that's our show for today. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week, and have a safe week. And if you ate this week, thank a farmer. Bye for now.